Well, it's good to be here and to actually be in this time of the year when we do celebrate Thanksgiving. And someone mentioned it here earlier, but we're increasingly, as a nation, as a country, we're skipping Thanksgiving. And a couple weeks ago, I was in a store and they were already, it was close to the 1st of November, maybe like the first week or sometime in there, and they were already playing Christmas music. And I thought about it when I was walking through the store right then. I was like, well, where's Thanksgiving in this, in our culture today? And it seems like increasingly we're skipping the Thanksgiving season, and we have just, it's just a holiday that we get together with family. And it was interesting to me, Thursday we didn't have a lot going. And Brandon and I went to a basketball game on Thursday evening, and we were on the way down. It was an open basketball. You just show up and play basketball there. And Brandon and I went, and we were on the way down, and we were talking about it. And I said, if we get eight people here, you know, it'll be a fortunate thing, because I thought people would be with family. We showed up, there were like 25 guys there and playing basketball. Had a great time. But I was thinking about just all the people that, as we enter into Thanksgiving, I know a lot of times there's people that don't have anywhere to go, and I think some of it's because more and more we're getting away from the Thanksgiving time. And this morning I wanted to go back and just talk a little bit about the history of Thanksgiving. And Irvin actually stole my thunder a little bit 2 weeks ago when he went into some of this. But some of the history of Thanksgiving, the Pilgrims that we know today, they were known as the Puritans back then, were originally from Scrooby, England. And they were known as the Puritans. And in 1607, the year 1607, King James I declared the Puritans to be undesirable. And as I read that, I wondered, well, what does that mean? But I don't know what that meant, but he declared them to be an undesirable religious group for that time. And right after that, Tobias Matthew, who was the Archbishop of York, raided the Puritan community, raided their homes, their churches, and took some of the congregation captive and imprisoned them. The Puritans then left and immigrated to the Netherlands, and they first went to Amsterdam, and then, and I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing this right, into Leiden in 1609. And there they enjoyed freedom for a period of time, freedom that they could worship however they wanted to for a period of time. But then their leader, William Brewster, published some articles that had some comments that were critical of the King of England and also the church. The Anglican Church at that time, and the English authorities sent people to the Netherlands to arrest William Brewster. He escaped and began making plans to immigrate to the New World. So in June of 1619, the Pilgrims began making a plan. They obtained a land grant in America, and started purchasing possessions for the trip. In July of 1620, the Pilgrims, as we know them today, boarded the Speedwell to sail to Southampton, England, where they were going to meet up with the Mayflower and another group of people that were planning to come to America. So they met up with the Mayflower, and they left Southampton with 120 passengers on board. But when they left there, the Speedwell started having difficulties, and they, instead of going to America, they had to sail to Dartmouth for repairs. After repairing the ship, they sailed for America. They sailed 200 miles, and the Speedwell again began having difficulty taking on water. So they turned around and went back to Plymouth, England. And it was there that the Speedwell was determined unseaworthy. And I didn't know this before, but actually After this was all passed, they realized that the captain and some of the crew actually sabotaged the ship because they didn't want to make the journey to America. They didn't want to commit themselves for a year. They figured it could be up to a year before they would return. And they didn't want to commit for that long of a time. So they actually sabotaged the ship. But it was declared unseaworthy, not worthy for travel. And some of the passengers at that point said, we don't want to make the trip to America. So they left, and the rest went unto the Mayflower, as we know it today. And there was 102 passengers that were on board the ship. It was interesting. We think of that as a pilgrim group or a Puritan group, but actually of the 70 adults that made the passage to America, only 27 were coming for religious freedom. Only 27 were actually of the Puritan group and the pilgrims as we know it today. The rest were just coming for financial gain, for adventure, that type of thing. The voyage took almost 2 months to get to America, and then they had difficulty finding where they were going. They sailed south and then ran into difficulty, turned around and sailed north. And finally, on December 21, 1620, they made it ashore to shore at Plymouth. And I can only imagine what it was like coming ashore in America in the dead of winter. December 21, they began building lodging on December the 23rd. And by the end of January 1621, they had enough houses built that they moved from the ship to shore. So a little over a month after they got there, they were living on the ship. And actually, when they made that move, some of the people had been on the ship, had not left the ship for 6 months. I can't imagine that. Being in a cramped, crowded ship like they were on the Mayflower, but for 6 months, some of the people had not left the ship. They were there for 6 months straight. And that's incredible. And through that winter, and Irvin was talking about these facts, but almost half of the people died. And then through the summer as well, some more died. And when the first Thanksgiving was celebrated, there were only 53 of the 102 people left. Only 53. 18 women had made the voyage. Only 4 remained. There were only 4 women at that first Thanksgiving service. The other 14 had died. So they experienced an incredibly harsh winter. They knew exactly what it was to suffer, to be without, to lose people, their loved ones. And they knew what it was to experience loss. March 16, in that spring, an Indian named Samoset walked into the settlement, and he arranged a meeting between the chief, Massasoit, and the pilgrims. And in March 22, Chief Massasoit and a delegation of the Indians came, and a part of that delegation was Squanto, and Irvin talked about him a couple weeks ago. But he agreed to stay on with the pilgrims then and teach them how to raise crops, how to hunt, and how to fish, and how to survive in this new land. In the fall of that year, probably sometime around October, they celebrated the first Thanksgiving feast. There were 53 pilgrims and 90 Indians that were a part of that first Thanksgiving time. Their feast lasted for 3 days, and it consisted of waterfowl, wild turkeys, fish, crops that they had grown, and the Indians brought 5 deer with them when they came. And they celebrated for 3 days solid. And I can only imagine the celebration that by which they celebrated. After having survived the difficulty that they had gone through, and the ones that were remaining, almost half of them, 47% actually, of the people died, almost half. They were extremely grateful in their hearts for what God had done in their lives, that He had brought them safely through that first year. And they going into the winter, they realized they were going in a different way, and God had been merciful to them. The question is, what about us today? And I was thinking about myself, just as in this Thanksgiving season, am I as grateful and thankful as what the pilgrims were that many years ago? And I realize we're a long ways removed from the difficulties that they face, but in some ways we face the same things today. We're not concerned about a place to live as much, and we're not as concerned about food to eat, but we are, the Psalms talks a lot about us being able to live with a spirit of thanksgiving and worship and praise to God, because it's only through Him that we have what we have today, that we are what we are today. And in some ways, the same things that the pilgrims were facing, we're also concerned about today. We're concerned about provisions. We're thankful for the way God has provided for us. We're thankful for the country that we live in. And I was thinking about this. We've been talking some about what we see in the future of our country. And I want to say this. In the midst of what we see is maybe some gathering darkness and financial uncertainty, we're still living in an incredible country. There's no other country that I think I would want to be a part of as much as America today. And God is blessing other countries as well, and they're experiencing the same thing. But God has richly blessed us. There is so much for us to be grateful for and to be thankful for. We're still experiencing freedom of religion. Lots of opportunities. Our income is okay, is good. We can be thankful about relationships. Many of us have very good relationships that we enjoy. Health. Most of us are experiencing very good health compared to the rest of the world. And I was thinking, too, about our church and just what we have thankful for. A year ago, we were not meeting in a place like this. We were meeting at the school, and to be where we're at a year later in a building like this with Sunday school rooms that are on the way of getting finished, it's an incredible blessing. And God has blessed us way beyond the physical as well as a church, and has blessed us with His Spirit and directed us as well. As we think of all the blessings that we have, I believe that it causes us to stop. And I'm thankful for this kind of time of the year that calls us to just pause and to take a look at our lives and say, Lord, You have blessed us in incredible ways. And we want to stop and say thanks. I want to read some verses from Psalm 92. Psalm 92 says this, "It's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to Your name, O Most High. To declare Your loving kindness in the morning and Your faithfulness every night." God's faithfulness has been real to many of us here this morning. He has been faithful in our lives through a lot of different circumstances in our lives. And if we would give each one of you a chance to talk about the things that you've experienced in your lives, the difficult times, the hard times, most of us could name numbers of things, and we could attest to God's faithfulness. I know I can. As I look through my life, God has been there in so many ways, it's incredible. He's guided me, and so often we miss that, though. We miss His provision and His faithfulness to us, but He has been faithful. We're to declare His loving kindness and His faithfulness every night. On an instrument of 10 strings, on the lute and on the harp, with harmonious sound. For You, Lord, have made me glad through Your work. I will triumph in the works of Your hands. O Lord, how great are Your works! Your thoughts are very deep. Psalm 34, I want to read a few verses from that, actually 1 through 10. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear of it and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant. Their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. O fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those that fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. As I said before, as we stop and take a moment, and I would like to do that just for a moment this morning. Just take a moment and reflect in your lives and your story of what God has been to you over the years. The things that you're, as you sit here this morning, maybe there's one thing that jumps out at you and say, that is one thing that I am incredibly thankful for, because I know God has provided for me in this area. It might be in the area of a relationship or a friendship that has come along that has helped you get through a tough time. It might be physically God has moved and worked in your life in ways that you know that without him working in your life, you wouldn't be where you're at today. Even in the midst of your struggle, maybe you're still struggling physically today, but you know God has sustained you. Whatever it is, take a moment and just think about that. And this morning, it must be a sign of my older age or something, I don't know, but I'm beginning to like visuals. And this morning, these candles are up here for a reason. As you think of something that you're incredibly thankful for to God, I would like you to come up. Just grab one of these candles. You can light it here at one of the big candles and just set it here on the table. And as we go into our worship time, I want this to be a visual of our praise and our thanksgiving to God rising up as we enter into our worship time. It's just a visual. We can sit here in our minds and say, thank you, Lord, for this or that or the other thing. But to just create a visual for us, that this is one thing today that I want God to just see, that I am extremely thankful, I'm extremely grateful for the way that he has worked in my life. And I'm going to ask actually Carla or James or one of them to come up and play some music through this time. So just pause for a moment, and if something pops in your mind, just like you to come up and light a candle as a visual for that. I mentioned before that while we're here today and we're a long ways from the first Thanksgiving, I realize that as we're here, there's lots of things that we are facing that look big to us. There's a lot of things that we're going through in our lives that look huge, as daunting as what the Mayflower the people that came over in the Mayflower probably faced. I stopped for a moment and thought about the things that they were facing. First of all, it was health. They were facing an incredible difficulty after being cooped up on the Mayflower for all those months, weeks and months, some of them lots of months, 6 months. After being cooped up there, disease was rampant among them. They were facing incredible difficulties health-wise. There's many of us today that are facing the same thing. We get the news that we have the big C word, or there's something going on in our bodies that the doctors can't figure out what it is. And as we go through life, as we live our lives, health to us is a big issue that we face today. And most of us have experienced that one time or another in our lives, or some of us has. I'd say a good majority have experienced difficult times health-wise in our life, if not with us, with our family, a close loved one. The other thing that they were facing is death. The death of their spouses, the death of their loved ones, the death of the people that they knew. We face that today in the same way. Not in the same way that they did, but we face the same thing. And this week, Dave Hosteller, some of you may have remembered him. He preached here a number of years ago. His journey with cancer came to an end, and he's with heaven, in heaven today. But he's facing death, people that we know, people that we love, people that we rub shoulders with. My sister, it's been a number of years ago. But most of us in our lives today, we face the big D word. We have the C word. We also have the big D word, the big death. Someday we're going to face death in our lives, in a close family situation, friends, loved ones, ourselves. But we wrestle with the same thing. We wrestle with the whole thing of provisions. Some of us are here this morning, we're not sure about the future of our jobs. And I realize that as I talk with people around the country, in this area, we have been incredibly blessed. And there are a lot of people in the country, in this country, that have faced it much worse than we have here in this area. But for some of us here, the uncertainty of our jobs and our futures are staring us in the face. We don't know what tomorrow will hold. And I know in the last little bit this has changed, but a few months ago people were worried about how they would make it financially to the end of their lives because of their 401k and the uncertainty of Social Security, and the list goes on and on. But those things are the things that still stare us in the face today that they were facing back then. The other thing is relationships. As they came ashore all those years ago, one of the big things was their relationship with the Indians. And if you do much reading, there were some skirmishes back and forth between them, and relationships with the Indians became tense. Fortunately, there was a tribe that it wasn't. But the relationship thing was a big issue for them. Even relationships among them as people were hard and strained, and it became a difficult thing for them. It's the same is true for us today. We struggle with relationship issues that seem big, maybe with family, with relatives, fellow employees, with people that we thought we were friends with. I want to read a few verses out of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3. It says, "To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven." Other translations use some other words there. Some say a time for every matter under heaven. And I don't think this means that this is that God sets up purposes or times that we go through all these things. What it's referring to is these are things that we're going to face in our lives. These are times and periods that we're going to go through. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. We can identify with a lot of those. We've been through times of mourning. We've been through times of dancing. We've been through times of tears and times of laughter. A time to gain, a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. Those are things that we, as we go through life, we will experience. And I had to think about it. What is it that keeps us thankful through all those periods and seasons in our life? The times when we're mourning, the times when we're laughing. What is it that keeps our hearts soft and keeps us thankful to an almighty God? And I want to just wrap up this morning with a couple of verses out of Psalm 34, the end of the chapter, it says this in verse 15, "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil." Let me just make this comment about 15. His ears are open to their cry. In verse 17, it says, "The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears." And then in verse 18, it says, "The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart." And I think there's an ingredient here that is key to the thankfulness that wells up inside of our hearts. And that's the realization that we are nothing without God. That there is nothing in us. All that we have, all that we possess, our very life, our health, our friends, everything, we're nothing without God. And it talks about having a contrite and a broken heart. Those who have a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And I believe an ingredient of that is that we admit that we need the Lord in our lives. Whatever we're facing, whatever we're going through, whether it's health issues, whether it's the bounties that we're experiencing in life, whatever season that we're going through, it is only through the grace of God and the strength of God and the power of God that we're able to make it through in life. And out of that, I believe, then flows an incredible heart of thanksgiving. It's easy for me to go through the Thanksgiving thing season and not really be thankful. Like, thankfulness sometimes doesn't just well up inside of me. And I think some of it is because so often I think I can do it on my own strength. I have a good job. I have income coming in. I have things are going well. I have all the food I want to eat. And we can, I know for myself, it's so easy for me to say, well, I can do this. The truth is, I can't do it. It's only because of the Lord. And the Lord has promised to honor those who have a broken heart and save such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards all of his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. I like those verses. The other side of being thankful is the realization of our dependence on God for all that we face in our lives.